Hello and welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. We're so glad that you are joining us. You can find out more on www.fairmountfriendschurch.org. Here's Pastor Brock Meyer.
And I'm mad at Sarah. It's your fault. It's your fault that I'm watching what you're doing and I don't get where I'm going. And I just wonder, in life, in times where I'm so focused on other people, I get an F in life because I'm supposed to be heading east, but I'm heading west. I'm like, what in the world is going on? Because my eyes aren't on my own paper. I get distracted many times and I want something else that maybe God hasn't called for me. And all it does is just breed frustration. I'm not like that. I'm not this. Why aren't I so far down the road? It puts these energies in me that are not from God. It's not Holy Spirit founded. And it just starts rattling the inner man. Whenever Christ comes, he brings just the Prince of Peace, right, that passes all understanding, and a joy unspeakable into our hearts. Yet, whenever I compare myself amongst ourselves, we enter into all ungodliness, and it becomes this really bad place for us to go. You ever had that time whenever maybe you're going to call somebody or text somebody, and you text the wrong person? Just because you're not totally focused on what you should be doing here. I got an example here. Check this text out. It says, "Your great aunt just passed away. LOL. Why is that funny?" It's not funny, David. What do you mean? Mom, LOL means laughing out loud. Oh my goodness. I sent that to everyone. I thought it meant lots of love. I have to call everyone back. I was with somebody one time, and they had said something like, "Hey, I'm so sad, and I'm mad at my mom." Well, it came across instead of, "Hey Siri, I'm mad at my mom," and Siri sends it to her mom. And she's like, "Oh, shoot." And her mom's like, what's going on? Why are you so mad? And she had gone off on this whole thing, and it ends up texting her mom all of these issues that she's got about her mom. Siri's always listening. Make sure you're paying attention that Siri's not always checking you out. And how many of y'all know if you're not paying attention, you can be sending all kinds of going on all different adventures and journeys that are not yours if we're not focused on what God has specifically called us to. This last week, I saw a really cool video on Instagram, and it's of this goat. This goat gets stuck in this fence, and its little horns are just through the jawline and the horns. Now he can't pull his head back. And they put a little bubble cloud over there, and there's this farmer rancher that's trying to get the head back out, and he says, "While you're busy focusing on the greener grass in somebody else's field, you know, the grass isn't always greener. Now you're stuck, and you can't get back to what you're called to, and you got to have somebody from the outside help unstick you." And I think it's helpful for us to break down, where did I get stuck? Where was I peeking into somebody else's paper, onto somebody else's field, whenever I've got my own, that I've got my own garden that I've got to tend and focus in on this marriage, on this job, on this physical health, on this financial reality, on this career path in life. But yet, I get so distracted by everybody else's. Now I'm locked in to a place that I should be running, and yet I'm jammed up. Theodore Roosevelt, he said it this way. He said, "Comparison is the thief of joy." And it steals what God could be doing inside of us because we compare ourselves and we just never measure up. And nobody ever wins because we're not that good looking, we're not that successful, we're not that, and we compare ourselves to a bar that's much higher than ourselves. And so I want to pull it back down to say, Jesus, who have you uniquely called me to be? Who have you crafted me when you fearfully and wonderfully made me and formed me in my mother's womb? What was the original intent? What was the original idea that you had for me whenever you crafted those energies and passions inside of my heart? And now can I double down, can I triple down on getting after those things that you've called me to do. In 1 Samuel chapter 8, we see this passage of scripture. Samuel is the prophet of God, many believe to be one of the best prophets in setting up the whole kingdom of Israel in leadership. However, he was undermined big time because he didn't produce sons that could carry on his legacy. So there should have been this reality where Israel would have always been led by a man of God, a prophet of God that would hear directly from God and speak to God as if it was God speaking. Yet when it came time to pass the batons, his sons weren't ready. They were serving in the church, but they weren't men of character. And it's amazing how your work can very quickly be undermined, especially if you are going to lead people, if your children aren't walking in the same way. It's fascinating here. And so they say, Samuel, appreciate you. Your sons aren't ready. You're old. It's time to pass the baton. What are we going to do here? And so Israel starts having this identity crisis in who they are. So 1 Samuel chapter 8 and verse 1. When Samuel grew old, he appointed his sons as judges for Israel. The name of the firstborn was Joel, and the name of the second was Abijah, and they served at Beersheba. But his sons did not walk in his ways. They turned aside after dishonest gain, and they accepted bribes, and they perverted justice. So all the elders of Israel gathered together, and they came to Samuel at Ramah. And they said to him, "You are old." Hey, thanks, guys. Appreciate that. That's when the board comes to the pastor, and the board says, "Hey, you're old, dude. We got to pass the baton." And this is what just happened. "You are old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now appoint a king to lead us, such as the other nations have." Interesting. Appoint a leader, because we want to be like everybody else. Give us a king. We want to be like what the other nations are doing. And let's see God's heart to this. When they said this, "Give us a king to lead us," it displeased Samuel. So he prayed to the Lord, and the Lord said to him, "Listen to all that the people are saying to you. It is not you they have rejected, but they have rejected me as their king. And as they have done from that day, they brought them up to Egypt until this day, forsaking me and serving other gods, so they are doing to you. Now listen to them, but warn them solemnly. Let them know what the king who will reign over them will do." Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people who were asking him for a king. And he said, "This is what the king who will reign over you will do. He will take your sons, make them serve with his chariots and horses, and they will run in the front of his chariots. Some he will assign to the commanders of thousands and commanders of fifties and to plow his fields and reap his harvest. Others will make weapons of war and equipment for his chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers, cooks, and bakers. He will take the best of your fields and vineyards and olive groves and give them to his attendants. He will take a tenth of your grain and of your vintage and give it to his officials and attendants, your men servants and maid servants, and the best of your cattle, donkeys. He will take them for his own use." It's called taxing the people. Anybody feel, yeah, like, oh yeah, I get it. This is what happens to us. "He will take a tenth of your flocks, and you yourselves will become his slaves. When that day comes, you will cry out for relief from a king that you have chosen, and the Lord will not answer you in that day." But the people refused to listen to Samuel. "No," they said, "we want a king over us. And then we will be like every other nation, with a king to lead us and to go out before us and fight our battles." When Samuel heard all that the people had said, he repeated it to the Lord, and the Lord answered, "Listen to them and give them a king." Then Samuel said to the men of Israel, "Everyone go back to his town." What I find fascinating here about Israel is when they began to be shaken, they defaulted to what is somebody else doing that maybe I can try to be like or become like. And Samuel, your day is passing, and so I'm looking for what's our next move. I don't believe that it ever was not the heart of God to give them a king. Actually, if you go back to Deuteronomy 17, God says, one day you'll have a king, and here's the makeup of what this king ought to look like. God had already kind of put into place what it ought to be. But whenever they eventually picked Saul, Saul was not that guy, and it quickly moved to David. But immediately after David, it became Solomon, and Solomon was just about everything not of the characteristics of Deuteronomy that God had laid out. Fascinating that God's heart may have been for a king, but in his time. You ever get the timing wrong in your life, and your feet are eager, and you want to move, and you're ready to go, and you just start walking a little too quick for the pace that God is wanting to go? We're just not equally yoked with the Lord, and we want to go, and we want to run. You know that passage of scripture that it says, take my yoke upon you, for my burden is light. My yoke is easy, and I'll just walk with you in this stride. And how they would do it is they would have an old sage ox yoked with a young buck ox who's just wanting to get after it and go and just run, baby, run. And that old sage is just, nope, this is the pace that we go. And eventually that young buck wears himself out and he gets broke and he begins to walk with the elder. Fascinating how I think many times we need that little breaking to pull us back into Jesus is saying, walk with me. I got some awesome things for you, and you need to be at the same stride and same pace. When we hear the stories of others, hopefully it doesn't want to make us be like others. I want a king like them. Hopefully it would be like, what's the story that you've got for us? What's the story that you have for me? There might be other ways that people are doing church, but God, how would you uniquely want us to have the expression of church? I want to keep my eye on my own paper inside my own community. What does it look like an expression in this place? Are y'all with me? And so specifically and very uniquely, what is it that God has called? And so a couple things I think are helpful. Number one is to clarify the call. Get some clarity. Clarity is king. God, what is it that I'm uniquely called to do? And I'll tell you, you don't get that by looking at everybody else. You get that by setting your eyes upon the hill where your help comes from, the maker of heaven and earth. And when you're locked in on a voice, when you live in the presence, his voice is so loud. He's telling you who you are. You're getting this validation from him. He's speaking call and purpose and passion and disciplines and destiny into your heart. And so rather than listening to everybody else, I know everybody else is talking, but I just can't hear you right now because there's a voice much louder that's speaking. He's shouting identity and purpose into my spirit. So first we gotta live in the presence, and in the presence is where there's clarity. There's no confusion in heaven. God is not pacing back and forth, confused on his next move. He's brilliant. And he knows your days, and he's numbered your days, and he knows them even before they began. He's got the whole day planned out of your life. And so we got to get into the presence. Jesus, what is it? And I want it to be loud and clear. And then second, I think it's good to define the call and to determine and define, put some definition to it and kind of build some structure around it. And when the vision gets clear, there's going to be so many yeses to that vision and then a lot of no's to everything else that comes your way. And whenever all those no's try to steal a little time, it's like little foxes on the vine, right? It just doesn't come in and completely destroy, but it just makes it a little bit less. It steals the potency of what your life could have been if you would have had laser-like focus. Instead of becoming like everybody else, I want to be uniquely who God crafted me to be. Recently, I had a conversation with somebody, and they were in this particular job, and they said, I took less money to come work here because I so believe in the vision of this place. And I immediately thought of two things. Number one, I thought the power of compelling vision will cause somebody to do a job that they don't necessarily always enjoy, and they'll take less money, but they believe in the vision of it. That's pretty powerful. And number two, I thought, bummer. You're taking a job that you don't really enjoy, you're making less money, just because you believe in the vision of the thing. What's the vision of your thing, of your heart? Trust me, hey, I believe in the vision of Helping Hands. Just because I believe in the vision, I'm not going to go work at Helping Hands. I believe in the vision of the Grant County Rescue Mission. I'm not going to work at Grant County Rescue Mission. Because I know who I am, right? And when we don't know who we are, we're like, yeah, I kind of agree with that vision. And then we're off and running. And somebody might even speak some things over you. You'd be awesome in sales. Okay, great. Where's the application? I'll go do some sales. Hey, you'd be great in construction. Cool. I don't even have a hammer, but let me go get one. Hey, you'd be great in, you know, doing whatever. Oh, awesome. I'll go run over there and do that. And I'll tell you, it's sneaky. That stuff can be very sneaky if you don't have it locked in the identity of Christ, of who you are. Man, it looks really cool over there with the Philistines. Man, they've got a king, and they're all huge, and they're giants. Wow, we could really be like them. I got to know who I am. Are y'all with me? And having a king might be a good idea, but I don't have to always subscribe to good ideas. I got to get the God idea that he uniquely has for me. And to double down, to triple down on those sort of things. I also think this, something that can deter us from our destiny, can be hearing when we hear no's from people. And we got to know which no to listen to. There might be a no from God. There might just be a no from people. And to know the different no's. Sometimes rejection, it's not rejection, it's just Tuesday. It's just another Tuesday. Hey, I tried. I gave it a shot, and it didn't work. It's just Tuesday. Doesn't mean that I need to stop on what God has called me to do, right? There's a resolve, and whenever we have resolve inside of our spirit, you're unmoved by rejection or disappointment or bummers along the way. I'm listening to a podcast right now by Bob Goff. It's called Dream Big, and Bob Goff talks about when we have these dreams that God has put inside of our hearts, that rejection is just part of it, the rejection of man, not the rejection of God. And whenever you get really clear on what you are called to and what you're after, don't always expect a rallying group of cheerleaders to come celebrate you along your way. Might not happen. There might be insecurity from brother. There might be like some talking down or cautions from mom or dad. Who knows what might happen? There might be some of that weird sort of stuff. Also this, whatever dad was, thank God for dad and for that example. You don't necessarily have to always be dad. Thank God for mom. And mom was awesome, but we don't have to be mom. Or our brother. We don't have to compare ourselves. God, what specifically is it that you got for me? Let me keep my eye on my own paper. And thank God for Sarah. And Sarah got straight A's. And I didn't. I probably should have checked Sarah's paper out more. But at the end of the day, Sarah's doing what she should be doing. And I'm doing what I ought to be doing. And God will work it out in you. He'll clarify some things for you. Handling rejection, I think, is one of the biggest things. Is to make sure that you get stuck in that grind place where you know God is the one sustaining me. He's the one filling this tank. It might be hard. This ain't easy. But I know that he's got something to power me through all of it. Also, I find this helpful. It comes from the great theologian Frozen 2. Just do the next right thing. Sometimes it's not taking massive strides. Sometimes I just got to take another little baby step. To watch my grandpa walk right now, he's got two terrible hips, two bad knees. He has no kneecaps. He's had his whole body's been replaced. I don't even think it's my grandpa anymore. It's just, everything's been replaced. And he walks like this. And you better believe he's going to get there. It might be tomorrow, but he'll get back to his room. And he's just going to get there. And man, maybe you're feeling just stuck in a little season. You know what? Celebrate every little increase. I'm getting closer. Okay, I saved a little bit more this week. Okay, I put a little bit more down on that thing I want to invest in on that next business. Hey, I'm getting there, all right? And at least you're making some sort of a stride. Don't be like me as a little kid, just kind of moving the peas around the plate, right? Hey, if God's called you to it, let's go. Let's eat. Let's get to it, right? In the same way, whatever those little strides, what's the next right thing? It might not all be super clear right now. I don't know. Even in my own life, I don't know what the next decade looks like. But I know some simple steps right in front of me. It's the next breadcrumb. The next breadcrumb that I know that I can follow and get after. Just taking some baby strides will get there. Also, what's helpful in the midst of maybe the fog is when we get foggy, to not just camp out in the bummerness of the fog. Anybody like to camp? Oh, okay, all right. Camping. Anybody like a 5-star hotel? Yeah, okay, there it is. Yeah, perfect. All right. So camping can be just fun, outdoorsy, this amazing fire, right, under the stars, perfect weather. We're cooking our food over this open fire. Got our warm blanket, right? Oh, man, is this awesome. It just seems amazing. This whole thing is perfect. You got your coffee with your blanket and your sweater. The whole deal is cool. And I'll tell you what, we can't just get comfortable and camp out in all of our rejection places. Can't set up camp in all of our defeats. We can't get comfortable. I'm just going to just kick it right here. Let's pour some coffee. Let's just make a fire. I'm just going to stay in all of my rejection where people didn't tell me I didn't have enough. I couldn't make it. I could never do this thing. And just camp out right there and get cozy with it. Because I'll tell you, the call of God on your life is so much more important than your comfort. And it's so much bigger than your past rejection. There's so much more. I just want to encourage our family. Come on, family. Let's go. Just get some little unlocks in our heart. Where our heart's been dinged and damaged, we got to unlock to come to kind of this higher place that God would still want to do inside of us. There's this, perhaps you've heard of this lady. Her name is Elizabeth Filarski. And Elizabeth she had this dad in her life that was an encouragement and encouraged her. He said, you need to, after high school, move on and move forward with your softball career. She's like, Dad, it's over for me. I can barely even hit a softball. You know, I'm not going on to college. And he encouraged her, you need to go on to Division I college and play for Boston College University. And he says, I know this about you. You're fast. And you don't need to hit the ball, but you need to run when somebody else hits the ball. And you'd be the pinch runner. And you need to walk onto the team. And she's like, oh my gosh, I don't know about all this. So anyway, she walks onto the team and she becomes a Division I softball player. And she said, the entire time, my bat never hit the ball. And I was one of the best players. For 2 years, she was the captain of the Boston College softball team because she was fast. And her dad told her, be who you are. Don't try to be anybody else. You're never going to hit a home run, and that's okay. But you're probably going to score more runs than anybody else because you're going to be on the base running the laps for everybody else. So she walks onto the team. She becomes the captain of the team. She learns all these great leadership principles and things over the course of life. And then she gets discovered, because she's kind of this little cutie softball player. She gets discovered, and she's on this TV show, perhaps you've heard of it, Survivor. And she goes onto the TV show Survivor, and everybody sees her, falls in love with this personality. Afterwards, she becomes, all right, you're beating me to the punch here. She goes on to marry her college sweetheart in Tim Hasselbeck. Now you might know her as Elizabeth Hasselbeck. She goes into broadcasting on TV, and she's picked up by The View, goes on to Fox News. She's written 2 books, all of these sort of things, and she was easily going to be hidden after high school and just go get whatever job, and somebody spoke some life into her. What are your strengths? And give yourself to them fully. Forget about who you're not. Become everything that you possibly could be in life. And I'll tell you this, just because you've heard a no from Derek doesn't mean that God's saying no. Listen to the heart of God. The other day I called, I may have told you guys this, that I called to get my, I had run out of contacts because of COVID. We're not doing doctor's appointments. But I didn't tell you this. They told me that you can't get in until September, which is now. I'm out of contacts in the summer. And so they told me no, but I didn't hear no. I heard, oh, you want a $15 Starbucks card? That's what I heard. So I went to Starbucks, got a $15 Starbucks card, walked in and said, hey, guys, I'm here to set up an appointment. And just as a thank you, here's a Starbucks card. Wouldn't you know it? I had an appointment on Monday morning. Amazing. Amazing how that worked. I got contacts. I got glasses. It's amazing. Just because you hear no doesn't mean that God is saying no. And Starbucks is powerful. Know the no's. I'm serious. I'm pleading with our family. Come on. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go, because I know that God has some more for us. Elizabeth Hasselbeck, she says this. She talks about capabilities. You don't have to do everything that you're capable of. Capable has a cap on it. Capable has a cap on it. What God is calling you is to something very uniquely that you're called to. And you're like, well, I can do this, I can do this, I can do this. You might be able to do 100 things, but there's probably only about 2 or 3 things that you're going to be really, really good at. And so your calling is something that is limitless. And it doesn't have a cap. It has the strength and the beauty of God. And so God, clarify the call. Who have you created me to be? And let me deploy everything that you've called me to do along the way. Perhaps you're sitting in here and you're thinking, okay, hey, cool if you're 30, but I'm 90. The call is kind of over. I would say maybe your occupation is over, but the call never ends. You might not have a job as far as you're being paid something, but I just don't believe that you're just existing. I believe there's still purpose. And maybe you're thinking, well, I'm grandparent, kids are grown and gone. How can I still have impact on them? I would encourage our grandparents that are out there to do this. Go to google.com. Google.com. And this is what I did. I typed in grandparents making impact. I just typed it in. Don't let me be more hungry than you are for being a grandparent with impact. Come on. And I Googled it in. Article after article after article after article. Here's what grandparents can still do. You might feel like the sun is setting, and I would say that's my favorite part of the day, is the sunset. It's got the most to offer. You've got wisdom. You've got unbelievable opportunity. They're saying go on walks with your grandkid. Write letters like crazy. You want to outlive your life? Go crazy on writing letters. Do videos right now. They have these cell phones that have video cameras in them. It's unbelievable. You can document your heart for your kids, for your grandkids. You still have purpose. You still have calling. You still have to maximize, deploy the last little bit of life that you can. Say, Jesus, what is it that you got for me? I'm all ears. I can sit in your presence. Get it clear for me. How can I still make some impact? And I'll wrap with this. Coming all the way back to school, after we take these tests, we get report cards. Our kids just got these report cards back. First time ever, Ronnie has gotten all A's. Ronnie usually gets B's and C's, and we give money out for how much different grades that they get, and Judah always gets the most. Guess what? Judah couldn't be less interested in school now. He's so bored with school, he's not getting good grades. Ronnie is not as smart, and she's doubling down. She's working hard. She's staying up night working on rounding with Alyssa. If it's a 5, does it round up? Does it round down? She can't understand it. She got all A's, and we're celebrating. It's good to have a report card. How am I doing? A good gauge is my joy level. Am I happy? Is this thing working out? Is the Lord hitting me where I'm at? Like, yeah, I'm flowing. Or, man, I'm so frustrated. I'm not doing what I'm called to do. There's just kind of some frustration. Another good report card is the voices most important in your life. Are they validating what's going on? Man, I see this strength, and you are doing this, and you're crushing this. Man, I'm learning from you because of how you're excelling here. A good report card is, and so to kind of lean in on those things. And ask some family and friends. Have enough humility to ask, am I doing okay here in these areas? But I'll tell you this, family, I don't want us to get to heaven and for Jesus to say, hey, I gave you some talents. What'd you do with them? And we're like, I don't know. I didn't really get much clarity from you, God. It's really your fault. And so I just kind of meandered about for about 9 decades. And so here I am. I'm back. If that's going to be the testimony of our life, it's a wasted life. And I want us to come sliding in to heaven on 2 wheels. Jesus, whew, let me tell you about this. This was a ride, man. That's the way. Not tiptoeing safely to our grave, but coming in on 2 wheels, exhausted and out of breath. I used up every ounce that you gave me. I maxed it out. And so, family, I'm not talking about an occupation. I'm talking about a calling. I'm talking about purpose. I'm talking about how to max out your life. I want to pray that over our family. Would y'all stand with me as we close? Jesus, I pray that we would be a church family that we're not looking at the grass that's greener everywhere else. God, that we're locked in on our paper. We're looking at exactly what you would have us to look at. We're zeroed in. Lord, I pray for our focus to never be broken. Lord, I pray that we would get really clear, not just on what we're capable of, but what we're called to. Jesus, I pray that we would not excuse ourselves from this conversation because of our age. Jesus, I pray that you would anoint us with some passion and some energy to get after everything that you've called us to. And Lord, we pray that your consistent smile would rest upon Fairmount Friends, that your favor would be for us. In Jesus' name.
So we're so glad that you were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or your preferred podcasting app. Be sure to rate us so other people can know about the podcast.